Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
And welcome, folks. I'm so glad you've tuned in to Exploring Your Creative Genius on the best radio station in North Carolina, 97.9 The Hill. If you don't know this, they've been the radio station of the year 5 years in a row. And boy, you spend any time here in their offices, you can see how they've made it happen. This is the show, folks, that's going to give you lots of different perspectives on what it means to be creative. I won't define it for you. I want you to build your own understanding, but I want to give you prompts to build your own understanding. And a great way to do that is to bring in really cool guests who have got some really interesting things to say about their creative lives. And today we have such a guest. Her name is Terry Ryder. Terry started her career in the publishing world, in the traditional publishing world, where she got engaged in every aspect of the industry, from marketing to illustration to design. After about three decades working for others, she founded her own publishing company, Top Reads Publishing, an award-winning publishing company that established some really useful industry standards for the rest of the publishing houses. So after been developing Top Reads, in January of 2002, Terry acquired a publishing company from our area, from Durham, North Carolina, Torch Flame Books, which happens to be the publisher that published my books. They've got 200 titles that Terry acquired. And Terry, I have had some wonderful conversations with you, getting to know you after you acquired the company. Thank you so much for being a Absolutely. Guest on the show.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, you and I spoke early on. I was intrigued by your titles and trying to be responsible. I started reading a lot of the titles that had already been published, and yours really struck a chord with me. So I think, I don't remember how we actually decided to speak together, but it was like instant familiarity. Yes. And it's been that way since. We've had a lot of wonderful conversations.
Now, I've enjoyed every one of them and come away with exciting things to write about and think about each and every time. So thank you for that. In those conversations, I remember you spending a moment or two talking about what a wonderfully creative childhood that you had. I've asked my last couple of guests to talk about their creative childhood. Why don't you add your thoughts or your experiences, your vignettes as this wonderfully creative youth?
I would love to. So I was a bit of a loner. I came from Kansas. And most of my childhood, I grew up in Colorado, which is absolutely gorgeous. Nature, all the beauty. And I spent a lot of time outside. I was always, you know, out in the wild. I would get on my bike and just ride for miles. We could do that back then without any fear. And I remember I used to go a couple of lots down. There was a vacant lot. And that's where I spent a lot of my time. I would look for bugs. I would look at nature. I would interact with the neighborhood dogs. And it just was so fulfilling. Yeah. I went on my bike along the creeks. I was really kind of a weird, geeky little kid, but I loved nature. I loved interacting with, you know, frogs and all the things. And that's, I think, where I really got to know myself. I remember, even very young, pondering who I am.
Okay.
Who is Terry Ryder? Who am I in this world? And how do I interact with nature? It just felt so intriguing to me. And I just had all the freedom to explore it and be creative with it. So I was very grateful that my parents just let me do what I wanted to.
Yeah, that word freedom is something that a lot of children these days don't really have, do they?
No, it's a different world. And the freedom to be creative, my mom always gave me all of the art supplies I could use. And she would do different activities with me, paint by numbers, all of those things. She really fostered that artistic desire in me. And it just really was so natural for me to want to paint and draw, which I did all the time. Right. Just painting. I mean, first of all, being in Colorado, so much beautiful nature.
Right.
That was easy. Yeah. But yeah, that led to animals, my love of dogs and horses and all the things. So it was beautiful childhood.
Well, let me take you back for just a second to the vacant lot. When anybody says we used to play in the vacant lot, I think to myself, that's another thing that doesn't happen much anymore. Because boy, they become magical places, don't they?
I know. And for me, it was the bugs.
Yeah.
I was looking for caterpillars and butterflies and ladybugs, all the weird things. Right. I just was intrigued by insects.
Where in Colorado were you?
So I was in a little town called Arvada, which is west of Denver, close to the foothills in the mountains. I was recently back there, and it hadn't changed a lot. It had grown some, but there was still a lot of beautiful open land and farms.
Great.
So I was really pleased to see that. Yeah.
That made you very happy, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Very, very happy. Well, I know that stories are important to you. I know the written word is so important to you, storytelling and novels. I mean, that's been very much your life for a long time. What about storytelling was so attractive, was so appealing to you when you first saw yourself as a storyteller?
Well, I think it started with what I was reading as a young girl and as a teenager. I was fascinated with James Michener. I just loved how he told the story from ancient history to modern times. Right. And of course, I was in Colorado, so I read Centennial. And it was just masterful storytelling to me. And the interesting thing that I never get tired of hearing the same story over and over. So when people are telling me a story and they say, oh, have I told you this before? I was like, yeah, but tell it again.
Yes.
Tell it again. I don't mind hearing it again.
I'm the same way. I think people like hearing the same story. I know children certainly do, right? They want to hear the same story over and over again.
Yes.
That's the power of it, right? It's just such a tantalizing thing. Tell me that story. Tell me that story.
Very powerful. And I used to make up stories with my kids when they were young. We would go camping and we would tell stories around the campfire. And two of those stories actually became children's books that I wrote and had published.
Oh, cool. What are the names of the books?
So one is called Snowflake the Dragon. It's about a dragon who breathes snow instead of fire. I know. Of course, my kids are in it. And then the other one is Grizz the Bear, which is about a bear who is injured by falling into a tree, gets a splinter in his back, and he's grumpy and he's sad and he's always just uncomfortable and a loner. Like I was. And ultimately he hears the tree talking to him and he is told to rub his back up against the tree.
I love it.
And he continues to do that and then the splinter comes out.
I love it.
Fun story.
Very great story. Very good story. Well, folks, we're at the end of our first segment. Terry's going to be back for more, so come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. We've got Terry Ryder as our guest today, folks. And you heard in the first segment a little bit about her background in the publishing world, been in the working for big companies, founded her own companies, just recently acquired a company here in the Triangle area. Terry's out in California, by the way, if I haven't said that. I'd like to hear more about storytelling. I'd also like to hear a little bit more about your creative childhood. So you choose. What would you like to revisit?
Storytelling is just such the thread that goes through my entire life. Of course, I spent time at the local library checking out as many books as they would let me and taking those home and reading them over and over again. And the storytelling part of, I have to say, I maybe tell stories, but mostly I like to listen to stories.
Okay.
is, of course, why I love reading so much and why it led me to publishing, because I get to read all of these submissions by really amazing authors who are telling these stories. How did they come up with these ideas? Mm-hmm. It's just like, wow, it's like so creative and interesting and fun.
That hits me every time I go into a bookstore.
I know.
What you just said, right? How did all these people come up with all of these ideas?
Yeah. I mean, even you, when you and I talk about your book ideas, I'm like, wow, I love that. Yeah. And so often when I get a manuscript, when something really strikes me, I'll read the whole thing, which I guess that's unusual, but right. Because most of the time when I tell the author that, they say, oh, you read my whole book?
Right, right.
Well, no. Yeah. If I'm going to publish it, I want to know that it's, you know, what it's about. So the storytelling part for me is mostly listening to stories. And, you know, one other wonderful thing is you mentioned listening to stories as a child. I have a grandson who's 5, and his parents have read to him every night mm-hmm. for his whole life. And they let him pick out the books. He's got so many books, of course. You know, grandma gives him a bunch of books. But it's really something that he has developed such a love for, listening to stories.
Yes.
And I think that really does start early. Yeah. I know I listened to stories and read stories as a young child. And I love seeing that that is something that people still do.
Yes. Yeah, my 3 daughters, all of them were just... Read some more, Dad. Read some more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Two more pages, then I'll go to bed. 2 more pages, then I'll go to bed. I used to hear that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we all read with a flashlight under the covers.
Yes, yes. Wasn't that fun once upon a time? That was
yes.
So fun. Well, you know, and then stories are, they serve us, right? I mean, they're cultural artifacts. Yeah. I recently heard a quote from a Scotsman from the early 1700s, and he said, if I could write, his name was, I'll remember his name. He said, if I could write the stories for a nation, I wouldn't care who would write the laws.
Wow.
And I thought, there's great truth in that, right? If my stories are the stories of these people, then of course the laws they're going to pass are going to be those consistent with the stories that they understand.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
I agree. And that really is where our culture comes from, is stories, storytelling.
Yep.
Before anyone was writing things down, it was told around, you know, a campfire. It was told in, you know, the hut where we were engaging together as a community. So I mean, reading and books and stories is just like a real passion to me. So I'm really lucky to be able to have a job where I get to do that all the time.
Well, when I get an email from you and below your signature, there's the 3 or 4 books that you're currently reading, and it's always a different set of 3 or 4 books.
Well,
so I can tell that this person is doing a lot of reading. Well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, do I? Do I read fiction, nonfiction? I listen to audiobooks, all of it. I have a very wide interest.
Well, I will sometimes talk when I'm in workshops helping people develop creative qualities, and I get to the topic of story, and I sort of want to demystify it a little bit, right? I don't want them to think that they're going to have to be grandfatherly storytellers to benefit from story. And so I'll try to present story to them as a technology. As the one and only universal knowledge management technology. It's universal. We all know how story works. We're all storytellers. We're all listening to stories. And it's knowledge management, because it takes this information and puts it in context of a story. And so when anybody challenges me on, can you really see story as a technology? I say, well, you were talking about in the oral traditions, right, before people were writing it down, stories were archives. Right, they were archiving data in the stories, and that sounds like a technology challenge to me.
Yeah, and there were specific people in the community who were designated as the story keepers.
Mm-hmm. The story keeper. Oh, I like that. Not just the storyteller, but the story keeper.
Yeah, that's
powerful. Well, I was with a couple of friends this morning in a dog park, and I said, hey, I got a story I want to tell you about that. And one of the people said, oh, that's a surprise. I've always got a story to tell you about that. So you also brought up libraries, that you would hang around in libraries, and I used to enjoy that as well. What's going on with libraries? I mean, are libraries still healthy? Do you know, have a sense of the public library?
Oh, my gosh. They're so challenged right now with the book bans and libraries closing and funding. It's really tragic. I see it as a temporary situation. I just can't believe that we will not have all of the books available to read. I think that it will rebound and we'll have freedom to read whatever we want to in the future. But right now it's challenging, and we are very, very interested in working with librarians. We go to the American Library Association conference every year, which is actually in a couple of weeks. So we're planning all of those things, deciding which books to send. We have a lot of authors that go and sign books for librarians. It's a huge conference.
Right.
But through interacting with librarians, we have learned that there is a real need for large print books, which if you think about large print books, it's mostly, oh, well, as we get older, our eyes, we have to have larger print, yep. So it's easier to read.
Let me step in just for a second, Terry. So the segment's winding down. So folks, what Terry's talking about now is something I was really looking forward to hearing her talk about. I don't know a lot about it. She bounced it off me a couple of weeks ago. So folks, we're at the end of the first or the second segment. Come on back from the break and we're going to hear more from Terry.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for coming back. We're here with Terry Ryder. We've had a couple of segments on her background in publishing, and we're talking about stories, and we've talked about her creative childhood. She was just getting ready to talk about this pioneer move that their publishing company has made. It was really a nice, bold, aggressive move, and Terry was just introducing it when the segment ended. Terry, take it back.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carl. So we interact with librarians quite a bit. My marketing assistant, Jory Hanna, she's fabulous. We both really want to engage with librarians. We feel a real need to support libraries and have our books in libraries. It seems like it's difficult to do, but it's really not. So we learned from librarians at ALA last year and from some of our authors who had requested large print editions of their book that there are not enough large print books. And we were surprised to find out that they actually want all genres. They want YA, young adult books in large print. And that was really curious to us. So we're, you know, diving into what the reason is, and it's screen fatigue. More and more young people are picking up printed books and reading because they're tired of being on their screen.
Oh, that's so good news.
I know. Isn't that surprising? We were super surprised, and we started researching it. Jory would go to her local libraries and check out like 20 books and just look at them. We learned how to format them correctly. There is a standard, so we're following the standard, but there are not enough large print books in the libraries to reach all of the readers. So the mainstream publishers, you'll find the lead titles of mystery and a lot of fiction, and they're all by the big publishers. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of organizations that do large print, but there weren't any independent publisher books. And we're like, well, why not? We publish really good books, just like everybody who's doing a good job of publishing. And so we had decided to tackle it. And we started doing a large print edition of all of our new books in 2025. And we haven't really marketed them a lot, but we put them up for to be available for libraries and anyone to order. You can get them on Amazon. And we have been surprised how well they are selling.
That's wonderful.
It's cool. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
We think we're on to something.
Well, and the minute you say large print is attractive to somebody suffering from screen fatigue, that just that just seemed like, of course.
Yeah, yeah, that was unexpected. I mean, we know older people, myself included. Right. I read large print when I can get it because it's just easier on my eyes.
Right.
And it was believed that, well, if you need to, you know, read something in large print, you just read it on a Kindle, but then you're back on a screen.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
It's more fun. People are finding, especially young people, they like to pick up a print book. And I'm so thrilled to hear that.
Well, and it's neurological, right? I mean, when you're holding something like that in your hands, your brain is more alive.
It is true.
There's a tactile effect. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've just, you know, I've never read an ebook. I don't have a Kindle or any of that technology. I need to have the book in my hands. I just need to have the book in my hands. And I'm an old guy. I don't spend a whole lot of time on screens, but I spend enough time on screens that I don't want to spend any more time on screen.
Truly. Yeah, I do. My whole business is on screen. And if you could see my office right now, you would see hundreds of books on my bookshelves. So I like print books, but I read ebooks too, and I listen to audiobooks. It's just, I think, depending on my mood, how I want to consume stories is, you know, it's whatever fits at the moment.
Well, I know that you are a successful company looking for more authors. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you want to say about that to any prospective authors out there?
Well, as an independent publisher, we take non-agented submissions. So you don't have to go through an agent to get to us. We have a submissions page on our website at torchflamebooks.com. And you can. There's a questionnaire. We ask a little bit about you. We ask about your book. We ask if it's been edited, those types of things. We like to know where your social media presence is, so we know where we need to work with the new author. We don't have any requirements. You don't have to have 20,000 followers. We just want to know that you are serious about publishing your book, and we have very high standards. So we work with you through the whole process, and we also do a lot of promoting of our backlist. So once your book is published, we keep going.
Yay.
We keep promoting it, which is, I think that's unique.
That's unique. Yes, that is unique. And so you're also looking for what you're calling beta readers?
Yes, yes. So before we release a book, we have what's called an ARC. It's an advanced reading copy. And we make those available to a few different beta readers that we have, or people that like to read books in advance, or they like to read books for free. We make them available to those beta readers to read, and in the hopes that they will write a review when the book is released.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Win-win. Yeah.
People love to read. They love free books, and we like to get some feedback on our books before we publish them.
That's smart.
So you can join our advanced reader team on our website. There's a few different places to get to it, but in the footer, it says join our review team. And if you click on that, you can sign up to get all of our new releases before they are available. And download it and read it.
Cool. Very cool. We're winding down now. The folks that are listening to my show on any regular basis, Terry, they know that on the Wednesday following this broadcast, your show will be posted on the radio station's website, and I will do a little bit of a write-up about the show. And in that write-up, folks, these links that Terry has mentioned for her website and for the beta readers, we'll make sure that those are all there so that you can follow up with that. Terry, thank you so much. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure, and I look forward to hearing from any listener who wants to contact me.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Her contact information will be there, folks. I hope you have a great week. And Terry, thanks once more time.
Thank you, Carl. We'll talk soon.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.